The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Today we will continue in our study of Jesus' Beatitudes, which are part of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and the Beatitudes are in the first part. I have entitled this particular teaching as Blessed Are the Merciful. So with that in mind, if you would, please go with me to Matthew chapter 5, where we find this particular beatitude. Matthew 5, verse 7. Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So I want us to start with the first part, blessed are the merciful. When you first look at this, obviously, this is talking about those who show mercy toward others. You see, brethren, Jesus in this beatitude is addressing those who show mercy, speaking to those who have already received mercy, and of course, that would be true believers, because we're the ones who really would understand this. Now, the beatitude is for all to receive, but who are the ones who really recognize that we have received mercy and therefore we know as a result we are to be merciful to others? Well, I think that would be those who are led by the Spirit of God. I say that because, brethren, it is because of mercy that we were emptied of our pride and brought to the place of being poor in spirit, which was the first beatitude. It was because of mercy that we were brought to mourning over our spiritual condition. We recognize that. It was because of mercy that we have received God's grace of meekness and gentleness. It was because of mercy that we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Therefore, as believers, we are expected to show mercy because we are the ones who have received mercy. Blessed are the merciful. So, brethren, as true believers, because we have received mercy, we will show mercy to those who are weaker, and I mean especially weaker spiritually speaking. Because we have received mercy, we will look for those who weep and mourn. We will forgive others, always looking to restore broken relationships. We will be merciful to others, and we will choose to think the best of them. We will be compassionate to those who are outwardly sinning. We will have care and concern for the well-being of all people. Now, I know I'm not going to, but I know you could go back and put in parentheses here at the end of all of this, 1 Corinthians 13, which we call the love chapter. So Jesus stated, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, when you really look at these words, they seem to come from Psalm chapter 18, or at least they do have the same sense of the words that are found in Psalm 18. So go with me to Psalm 18, verse 25. I'm just going to read the first part of that verse, the A part of the verse. Psalm 18, verse 25, with the merciful you, meaning God, you will show yourself merciful. Jesus in this beatitude is teaching us that God's approach is to awaken us in our compassion toward our fellow man. And he's done this by his own use of it. In other words, he set the example. He knows what he's doing. We should know what he's doing. And for we knowing what he has done, we're to do the same thing. And what is also interesting is he has done this in such an astonishing and fascinating, beautiful way toward each one of us. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 13. Colossians 3 and verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Now, just think about this topic. Blessed are those who are merciful, so they have, because they are the ones that are going to obtain mercy. And they're the ones that's going to be merciful toward others. This is what Jesus has done for us. We're not going to be merciful to others. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Luke 6 and verse 37. Luke 6 and verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And we're going to have problems giving mercy and showing mercy towards someone else. So let's ask a question here. The question is, where does the mercy that we have come from? Let me try and make this as simple as I can, because I have to make it as simple as I can for me. Mercy comes from mercy. Now, what I mean by that is our mercy toward others comes from God's mercy to us. I want us to see some, not all, some verses that we have in Scripture that describes the mercy of both God the Father and the Son. Let's begin in the Old Testament in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we're going to read verses 8 through 10. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor toward us according to our iniquities. Because, brethren, we know he hasn't, and the reason is because if he did, we'd be dead. Now let's read verse 11, starting in verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That's why I said to start with, this is describing true believers. Because we're the ones that will really have the fear of the Lord. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, and that word in the Hebrew could also be has mercy toward. As he pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Has pity toward, has compassion toward, has mercy toward. Now go with me to the New Testament. Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. And I'm going to read this from the New International Version. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's mercy. Brethren, as believers, we have been encouraged through many different passages, many different places, many different examples in both Old and New Testament that we are to be merciful. So with that thinking in mind, I'd like for us to notice some, again, not all, but some of the verses that describe the importance of our being merciful. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Matthew 7 and verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what manner you meet, it shall be measured to you again. If we're judging other people because they're sinners or because they've done something against us or because of whatever the because is, we're not being merciful to them. What do you think is going to be given to us from God? Not mercy. The second one I want to read, we're going to read four different ones here, is in Matthew 9 and verse 13. Matthew 9 and verse 13. But go you and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, I'd rather have mercy than sacrifice. This is what he's saying. For I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. What's going to bring sinners to the place of repentance? Mercy or sacrifice? Mercy. Mercy. Matthew 12 and verse 7. Matthew 12, verse 7. For if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Said, if you don't understand this, you wouldn't have condemned those who are having problems. You would have had mercy. That's what he's saying. This is what he's implying. You would have had mercy toward them. And then Romans 12, verse 17. Romans 12, beginning in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, and it's written in Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Go back with me now to our beatitude, Matthew 5 and verse 7. And we're going to now focus on the second part. For they shall obtain mercy. I would think that those of us who are part of the body of Jesus Christ, if we really thought about this, we would probably come to the place that we would think about that most people who really study the Bible realize that obtaining mercy will be fulfilled in at least two very positive ways. The first one is that there are many who realize that obeying God produces blessings for people during this physical life on earth. With that point, go with me to Hosea 10 and verse 12. Hosea 10 and verse 12. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. Hosea 10 and verse 12. So, with a view to righteousness, that righteousness, like seed, may germinate, reap in accordance with mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek and search diligently for the Lord and to long for his blessing until he comes to rain righteousness and his gift of salvation on you. Now let's go to James chapter 3. James 3 and verse 17. James 3 and verse 17. Remember, we're still looking at that there are many who realize that obeying God is going to produce blessings during this physical life on earth. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And this verse ties back to the one that we just read in Micah. So there are people who would understand. Being merciful, we're going to receive blessings physically upon the earth. The second one is, many also realize that receiving eternal life in the kingdom of God is one of God's great acts of mercy. Do you think any of us deserve to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump? It has nothing to do with deserve. It has to do with the love and the mercy of God toward us. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, it is because of God's mercy that this is going to happen. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Isn't that what I've been saying? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Brother, I think that it should be obvious to all of us, if we want mercy from others, and I mean especially from God, then we need to make sure that we are merciful to others. King David, I believe, to be an excellent example of one who was merciful toward others. Now, I also understand that there are some people who wonder why God showed such special interest, such special mercy to David, especially when so many of his sins have been recorded for, terrible sins that he committed. And we can read them. Brother, one very important reason why God gave David such mercy was because David was especially merciful to Saul. And on several occasions, he was kind and merciful to what I would even have to state was a very unworthy Saul of receiving mercy, especially at that time, at that day and age. In David, this verse that we're examining, the beatitude that we are examining, the merciful obtained mercy. And like David, we have all obtained mercy. So as recipients of mercy, we are not only to bear our own afflictions patiently, but we are also to help those who find themselves in helpless situations. And if we think that we don't have any, that has nothing to do with us, we need to think again. It does. In other words, we must have compassion on others and we must help them. God has helped us and we just leave it at that. We take it to ourselves and we just hold on to what he has given to us and we don't pass this on to others. That's not the thinking of Jesus Christ. That's not the thinking of God the Father. The Greek word, meaning the New Testament Greek word that is used for mercy, is eleos, E-L-E-O-S. And it means mercy, kindness, or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. It means joined with a desire to help them, to pity, to show compassion. We are to be compassionate toward others, and we are to help them. That's what I just said. Based upon this definition, that's what the conclusion we have to come to. We have to come to that conclusion. So as believers, brethren, we are to pity those who are in sin. And we are to search for ways to snatch them out of the fire. Doing so is an act of mercy. Go with me to Jude. There's only one chapter. Jude, verse 23. Jude 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I use the word snatch them out. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We hate their sins. We hate to why they're in the fire. But we're to do all that we can do to be merciful toward these people because God has been merciful to us, and we are to get them out as much as we can, you know, as with all that we can do. As we deal with one another, God deals with us. In fact, God leans us as believers in that direction so that we will show mercy to everyone, especially to those who are other believers. And we are to deal kindly with one another, all, especially to those who are of the household of faith, as he has dealt with us, as he has shown us mercy, as he has been kind to us. We are to be merciful and kind toward others. When we really get down to it, mercy is a point of true righteousness. Let me show you what I mean. Go with me to Micah 6 and verse 8. Micah 6 and verse 8. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord will require of you. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He's summarizing it here and saying, these are the three big things. Three big things that God wants us to do. And that is to do justly, and that's a huge topic, is to love mercy. That's what we're trying to cover in part, at least today. And then we're to walk humbly with God. That's a big topic. So mercy, which is a point of righteousness, is something that obviously the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they did not have. They lacked that. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In their righteousness, there was no mercy. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And if you think about it, judgment, mercy, and faith are those three things that we just read that in the book of Micah that God says these are the three things that I can summarize that I want you to do. Here Jesus is referring to them as the weightier matters of the law. These ought you to have done and not to leave the others undone. And he's saying, of course you pay your tithes, but you also are to do these. These are the weightier matters. These are much more important. That's the point that he's making. In preparing for this sermon, I ran across, did a lot of reading and all of this, and a lot of it, a lot of things that you can read. I don't recommend you going on the internet and reading a lot of stuff about it, because a lot of people don't know what they're talking about. I'm sorry. They talk at it. They talk around it. They don't really understand it. And that's another reason why I said at the beginning, this is really describing people who have God's Holy Spirit. That's really who he is addressing, because they're the ones that can do this. They're the ones that can really understand it. But anyway, in it, though, I did find this one very interesting statement, a quote, that I want to read for you. Mercy may be practiced by many means, not by money alone, but by word, and if you have nothing, by tears. And I think that kind of summarizes it in a lot of ways. So I think that we can confidently state, blessed are the merciful, meaning, or it is those who are affected by other sufferings, and they will try to ease, they will try to improve or lessen those people who are suffering, their state of affairs, the condition they're in. Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Really? Then we don't understand mercy. We can see this attitude, we can see this kind of reaction in the book of Matthew chapter 10. Go with me there. Matthew 10 verse 42, I'm going to read this one verse from the NIV. Matthew 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose his reward or their reward. That's an act of mercy. That's an attitude. That's a reaction to someone's need, someone's suffering. Having said that, we also need to understand this needs to be done along with a desire to glorify God. What I mean by that is, in obedience to his commandments, by his commandments I mean to live his entire holy way of life, and with a desire that he, God, should be honored, and it is to be done with the feeling, with the sense of, that we're helping one of his children, whoever they are. But this person is not in the church. It is a child of God. Not yet called, not yet being led by the Holy Spirit, but they're a child of God. And we're going to not help them, and we can. Then, will God regard it as done to him, and he will reward us. We see the same sense that the merciful will obtain mercy in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. I'm going to read one verse. Verse 26. 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful, and with the upright man you will show yourself upright. And in Psalm 18, in verse 25, the same words are repeated. Nowhere can we imitate God more than in showing mercy. Everything, I think, in so much, you can say, well, in love. Okay, well, the basis of love, the action of love, is mercy. When you really think it, when you really boil it all down, in nothing does God delight more than our showing mercy. Saying I love you is good. Demonstrate it through acts of mercy and loving kindness and gentleness and all of these things, and pity and compassion and whatever else we would describe it as, which it is in scriptures, that's what it is saying. It's the height. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him, the him here is Moses, and proclaimed. The Lord passed by Moses and told him, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and obedient in goodness and truth. And I'm just saying this is what God is, and what he is telling him here is, this is what I want you to be. This is how I want you to be. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Remember what I'm showing here is what God wants is us to demonstrate, to show mercy, the kind of mercy that he has shown to us. And you have to build on all of these verses. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Is this what we want for all people? Are we doing things to help them out if they find themselves in bad situations so that they can come to the knowledge of the truth? And go, wait a minute, God is not calling everyone now. I understand that. But do you know who he's dealing with and not dealing with? I don't. Not until I see some repentance. But that doesn't mean that God is not dealing with them. I don't know who God's dealing with. And besides, that's not the point. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. And that is how we should be living our lives toward others that find themselves in need of mercy. Brother, when we fully come to the point that we know, in spite of our own sinfulness, hopefully past, he has shown his mercy toward us by giving us his son to die for us, by expressing his willingness to pardon us from our death sentence, and by sending his Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to set us apart, then, when we come to that realization, then we must show mercy toward others. Again, this is why I'm saying this beatitude, when you really get down to it, is talking about true believers. Each and every day and hour and minute of our lives, we are partaking of his undeserved mercy toward us. And brethren, we need to realize all the blessings that we enjoy are proofs of his mercy. If we show mercy to the poor, to the wretched, to the guilty, it shows that we are like God. And I would use the word like God in a parenthesis here. And we have the opportunity to do that every day. I mean, our world is so full of many wrongdoings and sufferings. And we can help to relieve some of that by forgiving those who have injured us, real or imagined, showing that we are like God. What I mean by that is that we are showing mercy to others. It's at least a place to start. At least forgive anyone who's done anything to you. At least start there. It is an act of mercy. Here's the point in this that I'm getting to. God loves us no matter what we have done. God loves everyone no matter what they have done. But I'm talking about us, true believers of God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we ask, He forgives us. And we're going to hold grudges and problems toward other people, especially to those who are brothers and sisters in Christ? Where's mercy in that? The answer is, there isn't any. There isn't any. And you really boil it all down and think about it, you have to come to the realization, no sin is too big to be thrown into what I am calling God's ocean of forgiveness. Micah 7 and verse 19. I've read this several sermons to make a different kind of point, but Micah 7 verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion. It's the same word that's mercy upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And you, God, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And I've said this before. And then he puts up a no fishing sign. Don't go back and get them out. They're gone. He threw them away. And we need to think about it like that. And of course, any way you want to look at this, the greatest act of mercy was Jesus' sacrifice. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I.e., that is mercy. That is mercy. Since God abundantly pours out his mercy on us, obviously we must show mercy toward one another. And certainly that would at least start by letting go of all of those old hurts caused by others. Please also understand how we treat others does affect the way God treats us. Matthew 6, verse 14. Matthew 6 and verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 7, verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, yeah, I know I read this earlier, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Drop down to verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. It's meaning, this is what's talked about in the Old Testament. This is what he's saying. This is what they're saying back there. Matthew 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So, brethren, please realize forgiveness ties directly into this topic of being merciful. There's an excellent example in one of the parables of Jesus Christ. There's an excellent example in several. The one that I want to focus on is the Good Samaritan. Because we can see this point in someone who has a forgiving attitude toward those who sin against them. Two real clear-cut examples. I'm not going to read the verses. You can do that yourself. Like Jesus had toward those who were crucify him. Luke 23 and verse 34. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's an absolute act of mercy and forgiveness tied together. And then the second one is Stephen had the same attitude toward those as they were stoning him. Acts 7 and verse 60. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus stressed this point several times on several different occasions. An example of the opposite of mercy, as long as an example of mercy, are both found in the example of the parable of the Good Samaritan. So with that, go with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 30. We're going to read verse 30 through 37. Luke 10, 30. And Jesus answered, saying, I'm not reading up to why he's, who he's talking to. That's not my point. A certain man, this is the parable, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, of all of his clothing, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. My point is not who the priest was. My point is not why did he go in the other way and he didn't come over. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, meaning where the wounded man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. It's the same Greek word that could be translated as mercy on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, he gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I return, I will repay you. Verse 36. Jesus asks, so which one now of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said unto him, he that showed mercy on him. He got the point. It was an act of mercy. Then Jesus said unto him, yeah, think about that. And if you think you might want to do that, do it. That's not what he says. He says, go and do you likewise. When rightly understood, this parable is what I have labeled as a bright, shining picture, huge picture of mercy and its opposite. We can see 4 different aspects of mercy out of this parable. Number 1. Mercy sees trouble or distress. Verse 33, a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was and he saw him. Number 2, mercy responds internally with a heart of compassion or pity or mercy toward a person who is in distress. Verse 33, when he saw him, he had compassion or pity and mercy on him. Number 3, mercy responds externally with a practical effort to relieve the distress. Isn't this what we've been talking about? This is exactly what we've been talking about. Verse 34, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil in, and then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Number 4, this aspect of mercy even happens when the person in distress is, by both religion and race, an enemy. Not just another human being. He's an enemy. Because we have to understand, verse 33 says, but a Samaritan. Because here's what we understand is, we have a Samaritan with a distorted religious tradition, stops to help the Jew who hates him. He did it anyway. So what we see is, we see an eye for distress, a heart of mercy, an effort to help in spite of hostility toward him. And that is mercy. Go with me to Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commends or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The question that we all need to ask ourselves is, do we have an eye for distress? Do we have a heart of mercy, pity, and compassion, an effort to help in spite of hostilities? Because, brethren, after all, like I said, that is mercy. So we ask, who are the merciful? Who are they? It is those who, through brotherly love, which I haven't even really stressed in this particular teaching, but obviously it has to be there. It is those who, through brotherly love, who are tender-hearted, these are bullets, those who are tender-hearted, compassionate, kind, and generous. Second bullet, it is those who count others' suffering as their own. The third one, it is those who weep over the hurts, who weep over the disasters, who weep over the tragedies of others. Number four, it is those who out of their own personal property feed and clothe the hungry and the naked. And the next one, it is those who caution those that are in error, which is also an act of mercy. And the last one that I have, it is those who attempt to relieve and comfort others. So the question that I have, after we come to all of this, the question is, why do they do these things? Why do the merciful do the things that they do? Because they know, and they know that they know, they have obtained mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The ironic blessing, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless, brethren, each one of you with more and more of a heart of mercy. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.